Now, I'd like to read a number of scriptures tonight. The first in the book of Exodus and chapter 14. The book of Exodus and chapter 14. This is the children of Israel at the Red Sea, and they have just been delivered. Verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. In the beginning of the next chapter. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. And the song goes right on down for quite a number of verses to the end of verse 18, but we'll not read any further there. Now, the book of Psalms and Psalm number 40. Psalm number 40. 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Now, the gospel according to Matthew and chapter 26. Matthew's gospel and chapter 26. Verse 26. Matthew 26 and verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and break it, and gave to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. Verse 30. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16, and then we have just one reading after that. The Acts of the Apostles and chapter 16. Verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, that is Paul and Silas, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And then there was the great earthquake, and so on. Verse 29, the jailer called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord unto all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now just lastly, I'll keep you turning to the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and chapter 5. Revelation, and chapter 5. This is a scene in heaven. Verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou wert worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. The song is addressed to the Lord Jesus. Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We'll stop the reading there. We've read quite a number of passages, we trust, with the Lord's blessing. Those ministry meetings for believers, for Christians that I have just announced that we hope to have Monday to Thursday. The subject that I want to look at in those meetings is the music of the Christian life. And we'll think more in detail about it when we come to it tomorrow evening in the will of God. But tonight, I want to more or less introduce that subject, because if you're not a Christian, that might surprise you a little bit. You might be surprised that there is music in the Christian life. To a person out there looking in, the Christian life can appear monotonous and can appear miserable. And if you became a Christian, you might suspect that you're letting yourself in for years of boredom. Can I tell you tonight, speak to you as a friend, as an intelligent individual, can I tell you that there is no music, there is no joy, there is no happiness on earth to equal the happiness of being a Christian. It's not hard going. It's not rules and regulations. It's not meetings and more meetings ad infinitum until you're weary. No, dear friend. There's a joy in Christ. I don't find my Christianity an endurance. I find it an exploration. I find that I have been taken on a great adventure of discovery since I first trusted Christ. It's a journey of delight that will never end. And my business in being here tonight is to invite you to step onto the same road. There's not a road like that. Maybe, dear friend, you've come to the meeting and you're not happy. Things are not going well. And serving the devil and living in your sins, they can't be going well. Let me tell you, there's a possibility of a change. It's a big change. It's a great change. It's a radical change. Not only is there a possibility of such a change sometime, thank God you can have it tonight. And you can leave this place a different person. We do a lot of singing. If you come to meetings, people find it strange. You'll get singing at nearly all of the meetings. They'll maybe sing once, they'll maybe sing twice, they'll maybe sing more likely three times. Christians enjoy singing. The Bible is a book of songs. And some very, very interesting songs. And that some of those strange songs, well, maybe not, I maybe shouldn't just call them strange songs. But what they really are is a number of strong songs in strange places that I want you to think about tonight in this meeting. And from these songs of the Bible, may God grant that their strain might filter into this meeting in Glenmore, and that you might catch in your soul something of the music of what it's like to be a child of God. I'll tell you the five that I want to mention just briefly. We'll not be going into them in great detail, but let me mention them to you now, and then we'll go through them a little more closely. I want you to think about a song beside the sea. Strange place to sing, but there it was. Tens of thousands of people standing on the seashore, all joined together unanimously in a great chorus, in a great song. It must have been quite a sight to see and quite a sound to hear. And we'll think in a minute about people singing a song on the shore. Then I want to think about a song on the rock. A man standing on a rock, and when he got his feet planted on the rock, the Bible tells us his mouth was filled with a new song. Then I want to think about a song that was sung just almost beside the cross. You say, strange. Strange to think about a song just beside the cross. A few hours before the Lord Jesus went to suffer on the cross, he sang with a little group of men. If ever there was an unusual song in an unusual place, surely that must be it. Then I think about a song in prison. I don't think there's too much singing done in jail. There might be a little bit of swearing. But here are two men and they're singing in prison. And we look about that. And lastly, a song, people singing up in heaven. Not great. All the glories and all the blinding blaze and the greatness of heaven. And people will not only be there, but they'll be so happy there that they'll actually sing. They'll be singing up in heaven, such as we have never known. And I hope, dear friend, I hope as I look across this little company, I hope that all of you will join in the happy, holy songs of heaven. This first song, a song beside the sea. In fact, this is the first time in the Bible that you get the word saved. The word saved. Many people, in my experience, they find that to be a difficult word. It's a word that makes them uncomfortable. As soon as you mention it, many people tense up. They become fidgety. And they become aged. And they don't like to talk about being saved. Well, dear friend, here in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, we read that God, the Lord, saved a people that day. And then, as soon as you get into the next chapter, it says that people, they sang unto the Lord. They had been in danger. They had been underneath the iron fist of Pharaoh. They had come up against the sea. They couldn't save themselves by swimming. Now you listen carefully. In their helplessness, as the sea lay before them, and as the hosts of Pharaoh came behind them, the sea and its waves spelled death. How would they ever find a way of escape? The Bible tells us the Lord did a mighty work. And as the people stood in their helplessness and in their fear, the Lord sent a wind and he opened up through the waves a passage. And then, when he had made the passage and when the Lord had done the mighty work, the Lord said to them, he says, now you go forward. And you step out. That's exactly what they did. They stepped out upon the work that the Lord had done. And into the passage which the Lord had opened, these people walked right across until the last one of them came up out on the other side and the waves rejoined. And they were saved. They were saved. Pharaoh couldn't touch them. The old tyrant that used to make their lives miserable. They used to make bricks for them. And he used to keep them busy in his bondage. And they were grieving and groaning. He couldn't touch them anymore. The Lord had saved them. And he had brought them into a new life of freedom. And they were standing safe on the other side. You know, dear friend, it's great to be saved. It's great to be free. I see around the town where I live, and I can see the same even around the city of Belfast. There are many dear people, and they're just held in the slavery of the devil. They can't get free, and they can't get out, and they have no liberty in their lives. But the Lord brought these people through. They didn't push the water back with brushes. No, no. They didn't all stand together and say, now, let's take a good big deep breath and let's all blow at once and see if we can get the waters moved. Not at all, dear friend. They stood in the Lord. But once the Lord opened up the passage, it was their responsibility to step out on it. And when they stepped out on it and walked through, can I tell you, if there's someone here tonight, and there could well be, I always work with that assumption, that there's someone in a gospel meeting and you would love to be saved. Ah, my dear friend, you've sat in meetings more than I could count, and you've just wished that someday the joy of salvation would be yours. You've just wished that someday I'll be singing. And you're standing absolutely baffled, and you wonder, how can I ever get saved? Well, the one thing, dear friend, the big thing is to remember that you can't save yourself. But what was needed to save you is something that the Lord has already done. And may God grant that even tonight you would take a look at the work that He has done. And my encouragement to you at the half hour of this meeting is to step out on it. Put the foot of your faith on it. Step upon the work that the Lord has accomplished, and it will bring you across to freedom. Is it any wonder these people sang? You know, sometimes we sing, Christians, I mean, we sing words, I think they go something like this. My chains are snapped. The bonds of sin are broken. Listen to it. I am free. Oh, let the triumphs of His grace be spoken, who died for me. When these people sang their song, there was absolutely no way you could mistake it. They began to sing, and they said, I will sing unto the Lord, for the Lord is my strength and my song. And they said, the Lord has triumphed gloriously. You see, dear friend, in their song, this happy song, they were singing praises to the Lord. It's what He had done. It's the place to which He had brought them. I love to see a person getting saved, and as soon as you're talking to them, they're full of the joy of the Lord. It's what He has done for us, and it's what He means to us. Tell me, young man, in this meeting, do you know anything about the joy of knowing the Lord as your Savior? It's great to be saved and to be out and to be across on the other side, free from the domination of the devil. These people now had a new liberty. They also had a new life. They would never make bricks again. They were finished with the mud. And they were heading for a new land. That's what happens when you get saved. You get a new liberty. You don't be serving the old master. You don't be slaving for the devil any longer. You get a new liberty. You get a new life. You start doing things that you never did before. And you're heading for a better land. The land of everlasting glory. Is it any wonder, dear friend, that we sing? I don't know. I'm not a radio fan. But from time to time, I listen to the news. Sometimes when the news is over, you get a burst or two of some of the world's songs. The only thing it does for me is to make sure I turn the radio off as quickly as possible. They don't impress me. I was telling them here a couple of years ago that I was waiting for the dentist, in the dentist's place waiting one day. And they were playing some of this music. Mind you, it doesn't help you when you're going to the dentist. It increases tension instead of reducing it. And when they played one of these bangy, rattle, crash, smash songs, and I don't know what kind of nonsense they were singing, the lyrics were indecipherable. The presenter said, this is one of the top 20. I said to myself, if that's one of the top 20, I wouldn't like to hear one of the bottom 20. It seemed to me to be absolutely without music, without melody, without reason, rhyme, or rhythm. Dear friend, we have got the best songs. You see that book? That's only a hymn book. There's more music within the cover of that simple gospel hymn book than can be found in all the lounge bars and in all the pleasure hunts of this world. There's no joy to be compared with the joy of God's salvation. We are a people that sing. 'Tis we, O Lord, whom thou hast shown the deadly bitterness of sin, we who forgiving love have known may fitly bring thank offerings in. You don't know what you're missing. Dear friend, you're cheating yourself, and the devil is only fooling you with joys that are merely imitation. Mere imitations. They're just the froth. The froth at the top of an empty pot. Try the joys that Christ can give. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? It's not foolish singing. The joy of a Christian, dear friend, is not people that are soft in the mind and they have got a silly smirk and they're some way psychologically brainwashed. Not at all. We have had experiences with God. We have known Christ. We have known a true deliverance. And here was a people, and when they were brought out to freedom, I'm not surprised that standing on the shore, maybe, I can't tell you the number, but I would hazard a rough guess, and some of these men are better at mathematics than I am, and I'll not dispute with them. I would hazard a guess of maybe the most of 1 million people. Likely never was a choir like that. And the freedom that they have, it so thrills their hearts. Just to know we'll never be back there again. Dear friend, it's great to be saved and know that I'm finished with the old way of life. It's a freedom that brings with it a happy, happy soul. But I mentioned a second one here, or I read about it, mentioned it to you. Psalm number 40. Here's another song. I suppose you could say, yes, you could say, that this man in Psalm number 40, that he had got freedom because he was in a pit, closed in a pit. And in this pit, there was merry clay, and he was sinking. But the Lord brought him up out of that horrible pit, and out of that merry clay, and he set him upon a rock, and established his goings. When he was in the pit, when he was down in the pit, he couldn't move. But once he got up onto the rock, he had a clear path before him. The Lord established his goings. And you could say that this man, certainly, he got freedom. Well, that is true. But what I want to emphasize just for a minute, dear friend, here's a man singing because he has got a foundation. He's on the rock. You know, to be in your sin, it's just like a person sinking in merry clay. I don't want to be unduly negative, but I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that the old world in which we live is a very muddy place. And I see young people everywhere, and they get involved in things, and they're just like people sinking in the clay. And it becomes clotted about their boots. And they begin to dabble in things, dabble in drugs and the different things that you have. And then it gets up to the ankle. And up to the knees. Here, friend, let me tell you, it's very difficult to stay in sin and not find yourself sinking in it. It has a suction power. That's the idea of this miry clay. Once you begin to go down into it, it has a suction. And it has a gravity that draws you down. Oh, this man says, I was going down. And he says, I cried unto the Lord. And in my dilemma, and in my difficulty, and in my danger, and in my distress, he says, it was the Lord, and he brought me up out of this horrible pit, and he set my feet upon a rock. And he said, from a man that was sinking, I became a man that was singing. Once you get on the rock, I don't need to tell you, you're finished with the sinking. You have a firm footing upon which you can stand. Dear friend, can I say, it's great to be standing on Christ. To get a foundation for your life. Not only a freedom when you know that the bonds of sin are broken, I'm going to sing because I'm free. But now I have a foundation. And the Lord has put a new song into my mouth. There's a book that was written many years ago. In this land, if I remember correctly, the title of it was Peace, Pardon and Assurance, written by a man called Patton. And there is a chapter in that book in which he preaches a sermon from Deuteronomy chapter 33 on the verse that goes something like this: Happy art thou, O people, who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord. And in that, Mr. Patton tells the story of a girl who had come to meetings that he had, and she got saved. Her life completely changed. After a few months, he was just speaking to her in a very casual way and calling her by her name. He says, tell me this. He says, if you were to try, now that you've been saved for a few months, if you were to try and interest someone else in getting saved, he says, what would you tell her? She thought for a minute. She says, Mr. Patton, I think I would tell him about the joy of being a Christian. I think that was good, dear friend. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. That there is a joy. It's not a drudgery. There is a delight. It's not an endurance, of, as I've said. And once you get your feet upon the foundation, but someone might just say here tonight, maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you say, but it's all right talking. It's all right talking, but I'm in too deep. I'm in too deep. I've been in the merry clay too long, and I have sunk down too far, and I don't think anyone has enough power to get me up out now. Can I tell you, dear friend, the same Lord that saved us can save you. He has power. This man says, he brought me up. In fact, I didn't intend to tell you this. I'll tell you it very, very quickly. It's a sad story, very sad story. I hope it doesn't annoy anyone. I'll leave out one or two details. Apparently, I've never been there, I don't know anything about it, but apparently away up in Alaska, there's a large stretch of coastland there in those icy waters, and when the tide goes out, for whatever reason, it leaves on the mudflats some very unusual circles and swirls and curves, and people come to see them. And they get onto these buggies and they drive around this place and they look upon this pattern that has been left by the receding waters. Whatever way it swirls round, very unusual configurations. The difficulty is this. If you get off this buggy, you can walk along for a while and then suddenly you just hit a hole. It's just a mud bubble. You can hit a hole. And if that happens, you've had it. It did happen. A young bridegroom took his new bride there. They went out on one of these buggies, and she thought that she would take a look at one of these very interesting patterns. She got off the buggy. She just went down. down to the waist. He knew it didn't seem good, and he certainly wouldn't get off. He tried to get her out. They got the rescue things and so on and so forth. They put in balloons of water and tried to pump it out to get on. Eventually, now, and I'll not say anything too much here. Eventually, she started to go down a little bit more. Fire brigade in there. Eventually, a helicopter arrived. They strapped her whole body. And when they began to tug, the mare had such a grip that her legs pulled out of the joints. And I'm not finishing the story. He sat on his buggy and watched his new bride expire before his very eyes, because she had got down into this mud and they didn't have the power to take her out intact. I'm glad that we have a Savior. Yes, power. Dear friend, people that have sunk, we sing at times as Christians, sunk in ruin, sin and misery, bound by Satan's captive, guided by his artful treachery, hurrying on to endless pain. My Redeemer plucked me as a brand from hell. You might think that you're unsavable. You might think that your situation is unchangeable. Can I tell you, dear friend, the Lord has power to change you. And when he would take you out of the mire, he would give you new music. And he would set your feet upon a fresh foundation. And once you're standing on Christ, you're absolutely secure, held up by the mighty power of the rock of ages. A song beside the sea. A song standing upon the rock. Now, very, very quickly, I want to mention this unusual song which the Lord Jesus sang just the night before he went to the cross. Now, to show you just how unusual this song is, I don't know what it was. I have heard suggestions. I'm not going to be dogmatic. I'll not speculate tonight. But the Lord Jesus had his disciples at a special supper. At that supper, amongst other things, he took a loaf of bread. And he said to these men, he said, "This loaf of bread is my body, which I'm going to give." The next day, his body, he was going to give it on the cross. Then he took a cup which contained wine. He said, "This cup is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." And then, the Bible tells us he sang a song and he went out to Gethsemane. Oh, yes. You see, that is a strange song, isn't it? He just told them that within 24 hours, my body will be given and my blood will be shed. And he starts to sing. You see, that's a strange bit of singing. What was he singing about? Why was he joyful? What was there to celebrate in this thing that he had just mentioned? Well, you think about it, and I'll think about it too, dear friend. I just cannot help but think that the Lord Jesus was praising God, that on the next day the great sacrifice would be offered that would put within the reach of every man the forgiveness of sins. And he said, "It's my blood." He says, "My blood will be shed. And my blood will be shed for many for the remission of sins." I would say, if you went through this hymn book, I'm not thinking you will do it, I'm not expecting you to do it, but if you went through that hymn book and you singled out all the hymns that refer to the precious blood of Christ, I tell you, it would be a lot of them. There's no subject that has inspired so many songs. We sing, I needn't quote them all now, I couldn't quote them all, but I could quote quite a few of them. I'll prefer it except for one or two. "What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There may be someone here tonight, and you would really love within your soul to have the great matter of your sin set so that you could put out the bedside lamp tonight and go to sleep and know that my sins are gone. The burden's away. I have received a complete pardon. Oh, you say, I would love to know that great blessing. It would make me sing. You're right, it would make you sing. There's a passage we often read from the Old Testament. It's Psalm number 32, and it commences something like this. Happy is the man. Happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Here, friend, if you got your sins forgiven tonight, you would be a happy person. To know that they're just gone, not covered up, completely cancelled out. And that's why the Savior shed his blood at Calvary. May you draw near to the cross and say it another one of those hymns that I was thinking about a minute ago. It was quoted here this morning, actually. Precious, precious blood of Jesus. Shed on Calvary. Blood of Christ. You can get freedom. People that have freedom, they sing. People that have a good foundation that will never let them down, they sing. People that know forgiveness, they sing. The burden is gone, and the sheet is cleared, and the record is completely cancelled. But I told you about another song. Again, a strange song, in a strange place. Not now beside the sea. Not now standing on a rock. Not now just about to go to the cross. But two men singing in jail. And their backs bleeding. They have just been beaten and battered by those Roman rods. The jailer has put them into an old, damp, dark, dank dungeon. He has tightened down in those wooden stocks their feet. They're both legs stretched out in an extended position. These two men find themselves most uncomfortable. And the Bible tells us that they prayed to God. And they sang praises. And the prisoners heard them. I have another translation of the Bible at home, a good one. A man called Darby, you won't know anything about him. But I like what he says there. Just forgive me for mentioning it. He says the prisoners listened to him. Listen to them. It's not just that they heard them. I think the boys wondered had angels landed into the jail. The stones in the walls of that jail never heard the likes of this before. They heard men cursing and blinding and swearing and threatening. But here are two men who have been put into prison for no reason. Men that were put into prison because of their sins. They used foul language. Here are two men put into prison for no fault of their own but preaching the gospel of Christ. With bleeding backs. The Bible tells us they're singing. There must be a secret to that. There must be a secret to it. The joy that these men have is so great that the sufferings they're enduring can't quench it. Can't quench it. Can't extinguish it. You see, I would need to be fair to you, dear friend. If you get saved, if you get this freedom and this forgiveness and this foundation that I've just been speaking about and you begin to sing, the Christian doesn't necessarily have a trouble-free life. I just arrived here this morning and I heard this morning about some Christians in this congregation and they're suffering dreadfully. Christianity and being saved doesn't mean that you'll have a life without trouble. No. But dear friend, I want to tell you this. It means that within your heart you can have a joy that trouble can never quench. Our trouble can never conquer. Some of those martyrs some of those martyrs that died at the stake, they sang as the very flames were kindling around their body. You see, this salvation and this singing, it's not just something artificial for happy days and for sunshine days and when everything's bubbly and nice. Dear friend, in days when the sky of your life will be thick and black with clouds, and the thunder peals will be rumbling, and the lightning flashes will be striking. Even then, there's a joy in salvation that can never be removed. The Bible calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. I hope that you'll get that. I often tell what I think it was that same man, Patton, that I was speaking about a minute or two ago. He said that the devil doesn't have any happy old men. I've often thought about that. He said, God has plenty of happy old men. But the devil doesn't have any happy old men. If a man serves the devil for 70 years, when he's just about to put his foot into the grave, the devil leaves him to die and go to hell, and he has nothing for him. Dear friend, sin, a life of sin, is a bad bargain. There's nothing at the end. The devil has no happy old man. But I can tell you, God is happy old man. And there's quite a few of them here. I can see the covers of the human book is beginning to fray. And it's getting a little bit jaded. I can see old men here, and they're singing. Dear friend, the best is yet to be. There's nothing like being saved. And if you don't get saved, you'll never know what true happiness is in time. And you'll certainly never know what true joy is on the other side. Don't miss it. Because just as I stop and pray, I did read about the singing up in heaven. Aye, the great singing in heaven. The choir will all be in harmony. There'll be no problem with croaking voices or with people out of tune. The presenter will be the Lord himself. The tune will be absolutely right. The theme of heaven's song for all eternity will be redemption by the precious blood of Christ. Dear friend, there's a great song, and there's a great anthem, and there's a great choir. Now, the only way you can be sure of joining that choir is to trust Christ as your Savior. May God grant you'll trust Him in this meeting. The life of sin has poor dividends. Should I tell you? I think I should tell you. Just say a word, dear friend, sadly at the end, about the songless scene of hell. There'll be millions there, but there are no songs in hell. Some of you might love music. We are living in a world where people can hardly even do their shopping without music. They have in-shop music and in-house music and in-car music. And they have all these things round their heads, and it has to be music of various kinds. I'm not against all music, not at all. But mind you, down in hell, the music will be silent. The merriment will be gone. And the misery will be eternal. The songless sorrows and the sobs of the damned in the lake of fire. Oh, dear friend, I would implore upon you, it's a serious business. Why carry on with a dry, godless, Christless, salvationless existence, when even tonight you could be happy in the Lord on your way to heaven, with glory in your view and Christ in your heart? Change tonight, and may God grant you'll be singing the songs of salvation before this night is over. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow again to thank Thee for the joy which Thy salvation brings. We thank Thee again for the one who stooped and became the man of sorrows. We praise Thee for the precious blood that was shed upon the cross, the many sorrows that He bore, and oh, the crown of thorns He wore, that we might live forevermore, is more than tongue can tell. We pray that some tonight might get to know the Savior, and even commence the great chorus and celebration of salvation that they will enjoy while endless ages roll along. We thank thee for so many of us that have begun to learn the psalm, and we pray that others, many throughout the land tonight, might be introduced to it for the first time. How sad is the service of Satan, and how cruel the bondage of sin. How sweet when the chains are all broken and songs of deliverance begin. Bless the people and bless thy word as we leave in thy fear and give our thanks in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen.